Grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, the words of our Lord from Luke chapter 15. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. This is God's word. We just sang, as rebels, Lord, who foolishly have wandered. So let's consider this morning the parable of the rebellious son, the prodigal son, or the parable really of the rebellious sons, as it might have been told by one of those servants who watched the whole thing unfold from a little different perspective this morning. So here then is the story of that rebellious son as told by the household servant. I will never forget how foolish he was, the rebel of rebels. If it had happened to anyone else, I might not have cared or even known. But it happened to my master, and there was no master kinder, gentler, more compassionate, more generous, or more fair than he. I count myself lucky to be one of his hired servants. He cares for us just like we are family. We know our place and we don't take advantage, but he always goes out of his way to make sure we have what we need and are taken care of. Until one day, my master announced that he was selling one-third of the estate. I couldn't believe it. Such a large part of what he owned. Something must have happened to cause this, something bad, but no one knew. But not many days later, we saw our master's younger son leaving, moving out of the house. The rumor was that he had a falling out with his father and was going to another country, striking out on his own. Very unusual. So much was changing, and we didn't know why. The master called all of us together and confirmed what had happened, sort of. He didn't tell us exactly what had happened, but we could put two and two together. One-third of the estate was the younger son's inheritance. He must have demanded it from his father. The nerve to spit in your father's face like that and treat him as though he were dead and then leave. That's why I call him the rebel of rebels. How could he do such a thing to such a kind and generous man? Didn't he know how good he had it? And just to let you know how kind and generous my master is, even though he sold one-third of the estate, he told us that none of us would be let go. He would keep all of us as hired servants. I told you, just like family. Well, we were angry. We hurt for our master, knowing how deeply this must have hurt him. One thing is for sure, if that son ever set foot back on this property again, we would let him know what we thought. If he ever had the nerve to come back down that road, he would get the same respect from us that he gave to his father. He would be the one spit on this time. He would be the one to be hurt next time. Count on it. Well, some time went by, and life goes on. Our anger died down a bit, but our hatred did not. Every time I thought of that rascal, but it was his father I worried about. It seemed like he aged a year for every week that went by. He wasn't getting over this. It was weighing heavily upon him. I wonder if he heard the same reports that we were hearing about how this son of his was making quite a name for himself, and not a good one. Oh, he was hearing it. The old man probably knew more than we did. That's why he looked as he did. He still checked in with us every day to see how we were doing, but he wasn't the same. He didn't have that same life and joy in him. And then one day, it happened. That boy returned. I tell you, wildfires don't spread as fast as that news did. So we all got ready. We, all of the hired servants, we lined the road from the gate to the estate of the estate to the house, and we were going to let him have it. Jeers, name-calling, harsh words, spitting. I even heard one of a couple of the servants who wanted to throw stones at him. He would know he was not welcome back. So we were getting in position, but then we could not believe our eyes. Our master, an older man, was running down the lane, sprinting toward the gate. I hadn't seen him move so fast in years. Most of us thought when his son returned, if he ever did, he'd have to beg to see his father. But the old man was running down the lane in front of all of us. At first, I thought he wanted to hurl the first angry words at this rebel, this former son of his. But when he ran past me, I wasn't sure, but I thought he looked happy, joyful even, like his life was back again. Well, after I picked my jaw up off of the ground, my suspicion was confirmed. No sooner had the gate opened than our master lunged at his son and was hugging him and kissing him. That went on for a little bit, and then they began walking down the lane past all of us hired servants who were there to let that rebel have it. But with the father's arm around his son, how could we? In fact, the father's actions changed everything that day. Now we stood there as if an honor guard, welcoming the son home. That's not why we were there or what we had intended, but our master, it's what he did. When they got to where I was standing, my master looked at me and the man next to me and said, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." We were frozen. Did we hear right? This my son, after what he had done? Did he really just tell us to? And then he said, "Come on, hop to it, go." So we did. And I tell you, my admiration for the old man grew by leaps and bounds that day. I knew he was kind and gentle and compassionate before, but this was a whole different ballgame. This was way more than I thought humanly possible. And I was ashamed, too, of the things that I've done that look so filthy and vile compared to the pure love and grace that this father has for his sons and for all of us. I've been a rebel, too, in my actions and in my words, no better than that rebel of rebels. So I went to that younger son later that day, and he told me what he had said to his father, or what he had planned to say. "I sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son." I was happy to hear him say those words. And then he said that he had planned on asking to be brought back, not as a son, but as one of us, as a hired servant. That way he could start paying back his father and would not have to live off of what would now be his brother's estate, and he could save face a little bit. But after what his father did, he couldn't even say those words. Before he could get the first words out, the father had given it all back to him: his place in the family, his honor, his life. The son was overwhelmed by his father's love and forgiveness and acceptance. And all I could do is smile and nod. And I thought to myself, I want to be a father like that, a master like that, a friend like that. So the party got started. All of us hired servants were working, but we were guests at the same time, just like family, as the master always treated us. I was in charge of the wine, so I went out to refill one of the jugs. And while I was out there, the older son called to me. He was still in his work clothes. I hadn't even noticed that he wasn't at the party. He came up to me and asked what was going on, what this party was all about. So I told him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." Well, he started shaking and turning red. I thought he was going to blow a gasket. I was fearful just looking at him. But it made sense. As angry as all of us hired servants had been, the brother must have been even angrier. And he said, "I ain't going in there to celebrate that filthy rat. He deserves nothing. Should have died with those pigs that he was feeding." And that's when it hit me that not only had I been a rebel like the younger son, but I have also been a rebel like this older son too, quick to condemn others with self-righteous indignation. For this younger son's homecoming, I had planned to spit on him and retaliate and shame him. But I learned something that day from my master about love and forgiveness, that I needed it too. For I too was a rebel in my heart and in my hatred. Just then, the father came out. He said thank you to me, which I knew meant it was time for me to leave them alone. So I picked up the jug I was filling, but I confess, I stayed within earshot. I wanted to hear what the father was going to say, and he didn't disappoint. The older son was angry. I heard him say, "Your son," not my brother, but "your son." And I heard the words, "not fair," and "prostitutes," and "for him." The father was so kind and loving, just as he had been to the younger son. And I heard him say, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." I went back into the party at that point, and I saw the father come in soon after me, but the older son stayed outside. And honestly, I can't remember if he ever came in at all. I felt badly for him, not because of what his brother had done, but because of what he could not do. He could not accept his father's kindness and love. End of story. As rebels, Lord, who foolishly have wandered. And so the story that we often refer to as the story of the prodigal son is really the story of two sons and of how far each of them so foolishly wandered away from their father, but in their own ways. The younger son in open rebellion of a shameless life of depravity, and the older son in the secret inner rebellion of a self-righteous pride that thinks itself better and more worthy of the Father. Both of these rebellious sons were welcomed into the Father's household. The Father was beyond gracious to each of them as they needed grace, restoring love to the younger son, reaffirming love for the older son. But it was only the repentant rebel who knew and who confessed his sins who actually came into the party to celebrate, while the unrepentant son, blinded by his own self-righteous pride, excluded himself from his father's household and from the celebration of his father's love. forever bitter and angry in the outer darkness. Listen once again to St. Paul from our epistle reading. For our sake, that is for the sake of us rebels, for our sake the Father made His Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, to bear our sin and all of our rebellion and all of our self-righteous pride, to bear it all to the cross, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God, sons and daughters of our Father. That is grace for every kind of rebel. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.